Hello, my brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're really glad you're with us here today for this wonderful 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. And, you know, the Catholic Church is going through a great storm right now, and so is the world. See, and unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, you know, as the church goes, so goes the world. Or we might say, as the world goes, so goes the church. And we see it in front of us, very stark, very scary. And we see stories coming up every day, those that get reported anyway. We see stories coming up every day of people's inhumanity to each other. Mothers and fathers inhumanity to their own children, families inhumanity to their own family members. And then we ask ourselves, you know, how can this happen in the church? My brothers and sisters, we are the body of Christ. See? We are the body of Christ. And in a very special way, as Christians. And in a very powerful way, those who are in the church. And so, of course, it is quite disturbing, awful, terrible, disgusting to see these crimes that are committed. And those people should be, you know, I myself would say, you know, I wouldn't have any statute of limitations, because it's just like murder when you do these things to a child. I would not. I would say throw them in prison, you know, forever. You know, I think that's the best thing to do. And quite frankly, it's the only thing to do. And unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, you know, this, you know, the age of, you know, free love and all this garbage, you know, that has come upon our culture and upon our society, we're reaping some of that stuff today. Some of this horrible decisions that we've made, some of the horrible decisions that professionals have made. You know, they haven't talked about the psychologists and the psychiatrists that were advising the church, that were advising other institutions. Oh, they'll be okay. Put them through therapy. Put them through this. Put them in rehab. Put them through this. Put them through that. Make this, that, and the other thing. Put them through all those things and then let them back into the workforce or let them back into their ministries. Insanity. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that's what many people were told back then. See? So, there is a lot more people to blame. Yes, are there bishops to blame? Absolutely. Are there priests and deacons, religious people, teachers, lawyers, everyone, doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists? Many, many, many people are to blame for this. Ultimately, all of us are. And how we handle these problems. Look at how we're handling the problem with the homeless in Kalamazoo, right? We're not handling it. We haven't been handling it. We haven't been handling it since we tore down the mental hospitals. Right here in Kalamazoo, we had a gigantic mental hospital which serviced a huge part of the state. It is gone. It is gone. Because our culture is teaching us to not care. Mind your own business. It's none of my business. You know, it's a moral issue. You know, it's morality. It's everybody's decision. Make your own morality. Have your own morality. So, enough of that. But I wanted to get some of that out because we need to heal. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, I said it last week. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, because it is getting worse. You know, the attitude that I can do whatever I want to do to whomever I want to. I can do whatever I want to do sexually. I can do whatever I want to do. You know, anything goes. You know, keep your morals to yourself. Keep your rules to yourself. I don't want to hear about it. You know? And some people say, well, if that's what they want to do, then that's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. In many ways, it is destroying the very fabric of our society. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, just to get it out there real quick, you know, in 2002, 2004, when they made the national report on the sexual abuse that was going on 81% of the sexual abuse that was going on was homosexual abuse. It was priests who were homosexual, who were preying upon young boys 15 years on up in the churches as well as in the seminaries. You know, sometimes you wonder, you know, why don't we have any priests today? This is why we don't have any priests today either. You know, who would want to become a priest if you go to the seminary and you see that? And that's going on. And then, of course, you know, we see it quite plainly with Cardinal McCarrick, you know, where you have an actively gay, homosexual man who is protecting those who are in those positions of power. See? It's a sickness, my brothers and sisters. It's the sickness of sin. And it's quite horrible, quite horrific. And so what do they pay? What crime should they pay? You know? Rape is a crime. You know? But, you know, and the pedophilia with children, even though it's a very small percentage, just horrific. Horrific. Should be the death penalty for doing that. For harming a child. The death penalty. Life in prison. We should pass that legislation just as quickly as possible. Just as quickly as possible. And we will see what kind of country we are if we actually do it or not. You know, there's a huge amount of organized crime that's behind all of this too, and the destruction of our culture, and the human trafficking, all of this stuff, the sex trade, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. We have much to pray about, my brothers and sisters. And if you're not a praying person, or you've really never prayed, you better start praying. Because this is an all-out war. We see it quite plainly. Especially when we see this resurgence of bringing all this stuff coming back up to the surface. Even though it happened 70 years ago, 50 years ago, it's happening today. It's happening today. Horrible things. And I'm not saying it's happening today in our parishes, but it's happening in our culture. It's happening in our culture. There are people falling every day. Every day, people fall. And so we have a lot to pray about. We have a lot to pray about. And I want to talk about some of these things. Humanae Vitae, I want you to write that down. Humanae Vitae, you can read that encyclical on the EWTN.com website. It's a beautiful encyclical that Pope Pius the 12th, I believe. Let me look here. Pope Paul the 6th. He did this encyclical the 25th of July, 1968. See, and it was, and now it's the 50th anniversary of that. And we've seen how all this stuff that he talked about, you know, and you know that. Divorce is okay, and contraception's okay, and limit your family, and kill your baby, and just do whatever you want to do. And if, you know, if you're in love with this person, love with that person, oh, marry them both, or live with them both. Do whatever you want to do. You know? It's just, it's disgusting. And this is why we're at where we're at today. This is why we're at where we're at today. This is why the church is at where we're at today. Have we had a breakdown in management? Absolutely. We've had a breakdown in our culture as well. We've had a breakdown in people not standing up for things. So I'm going to read a couple of things from Humanae Vitae, and we're also going to talk a little bit about theology of the body, St. Pope John Paul's theology of the body. And today is the day when we talk about the Holy Eucharist. We talk about the body of Christ, and it's very fitting. See, because some of us think, well, I'm disconnected from that, you know, or I don't belong to the church. And boy, oh boy, am I glad I'm not a Catholic, or I'm glad I'm not part of the church. I'm glad I'm not one of you Christians. Well, you know what? I think you're a coward. Because this is what the fight is all about. This is what the battle between good and evil. And I say you're a coward because if you're not willing to fight, if you're not willing to stand and fight against evil, or say, you know what, I wouldn't do that. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think it's good, you know, you're married. I don't think it's good that you have a girlfriend. I think what you're doing is disgusting. I think what you're doing is wrong. If you're not willing to do that, then you're a coward. That's cowardice. And we're all going to be called on that. I'm going to be called on that too. I have things like that that come up. Very uncomfortable things that I don't want to have to say to people. But they have to be said. You know, that's what this whole thing, this whole Me Too thing out in everywhere, New York, California. Now they're finding out the Me Too people are saying that they were abused. They also abused people. See? It's a sickness. Horrible sickness. Men abusing women. Women abusing men. Men abusing men. Women abusing women. It's disgusting. Adults abusing children within their own families. It's madness. And to say, oh, evil doesn't exist. Well, you need to wake up. It's even worse than not having courage. Now you're living delusionally. And part of this is this. It's this culture of relativism. See? Anything goes. Doesn't matter. Do whatever I want to. Well, it does matter. It all matters. Let's get into the scripture readings. In case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and we're here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're really glad you're with us here today. If you'd like to, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. There's a very nice letter on there from our bishop, Bishop Paul Bradley, who's a wonderful bishop. And, you know, God help him, and God help all the priests and deacons and religious who are you know, working through this once again. But there is a reason why, because we haven't cleaned house enough in the church. We haven't, and we need to be diligent, and we need to clean house in our culture too. We need to clean the culture up a little bit, a lot of it. If you'd like to any of our past programs, you can go to holyfamilyradio.net. And listen to Catholic radio, for crying out loud. You know, don't just listen to CNN or Fox News and listen to those garbage cans that run all day long, 24/7. You know, either, you know, there and go to EWTN.com. Get multiple sources of news before you start believing anything. So let's go right into the scripture readings because we're about halfway through our program. But I wanted to get that stuff said, you know, because too often, you know, we don't talk about this stuff, right? We're only as sick as our secrets. That's what they always say in recovery. You're only as sick as your secrets. No secrets, my brothers and sisters. Don't have secrets. Confess your sins. You know, those people who are abusing their wives and their husbands and their children, you need to repent. We all need repentance. We need to repent. Repent, repent, repent. All of us need to. So our first reading is from Joshua. Joshua 24, 1, 2, 15 through 17 and 18. Joshua gathered together all the tribes of Israel and Shechem, summoning the elders and their leaders, their judges and their officers. When they stood in the ranks before God, Joshua addressed the people. If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve. The God of your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose country you are now dwelling. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. For it was the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of the state of slavery. He performed those great miracles before our very eyes and protected us along our entire journey and among the peoples through whom we passed. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next reading is from Ephesians and that is Ephesians 5:21-32 and 5:2-25-32. Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself the Savior of the body. As for the church, it's subordinate to Christ. So wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak in reference to the church. I speak in reference to Christ and the church. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today is the Gospel of John, the Bread of Life Discourse, which is the culmination of all these bread and life discourses that we've been going through for the last month here, ultimately leading to this gospel. The Gospel of John 6:60-69. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is to no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the ones who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you, that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of the disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So very powerful reading, this Bread of Life discourse, where we believe that this bread that we receive at Mass is the Holy Eucharist. It is Jesus. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. And many have walked away, or many come to the church once or twice a year. But my brothers and sisters, this is a great battle that we're in, a great battle for our lives, for our brothers and sisters, for those who are well and those who are sick. And Jesus came to heal the sick. And so those who are somewhat well need to try to help instead of being more sinful or in getting involved in vice ourselves, to try to be and lead this holy life. But as Joshua, this very powerful reading, our first reading, you know, of making the decision if you are going to serve God or if you're going to serve the world. And so that's in front of us today, as it is every day. Our second reading from Ephesians, that our family is a domestic church and it should be respected. Be subject to one another for the sake of Christ. This mystery of the Christian church, as we are one. We are one. We are all together, which makes it so much more important to think about that if you commit sin, if you live a life of degradation and sin and vice, it affects other people. It affects everyone. Jesus knew and loved all of us when he gave his life on the cross. And this great mystery of Christ being joined to us, just as a man and woman are joined in marriage. Just as a man and a woman are joined in marriage. The church is the bride of Christ. And we are baptized into this, baptized into Christ, death and cross, in order for us to have new life. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you're a Christian and you're not feeling any pain, then you might want to try the Catholic Church, because we're feeling pain right now. Horrible pain. And much of it deserved. Much of it deserved, this chastisement. A great one for us. Pray. Pray for us. Pray that we survive, and that the gates of hell will not prevail over us, as they will not, because we will battle this battle of evil. And this hard saying of the Eucharist, and many have walked away. Many Christians have walked away. Many believers have walked away. Many walked away when, at the time of Christ, when Christ was talking to them about this. Many believers, Jews, maybe future Muslims, walked away. Did not want to listen to Jesus. Did not want to listen to his words. Many people walked away. Many people walk away today because the saying is hard and it is difficult. It is not easy. It is not easy. But the Eucharist and the cross are stumbling blocks. We are scandalized by Jesus' gift. Scandalized by Jesus' gift. We're scandalized by Jesus laying down his life because he calls us to do the same. And many of us say, no, I will not. I will not give my life. I will not give anything. Jesus is the Anointed One. Jesus is God. And so I want to read this reading from Humanae Vitae, very good, very prophetic, from 50 years ago. Paragraph 28. Beloved priest sons, by vocation you are the counselors and spiritual guides of individual persons and of families. We now turn to you with confidence. First task, especially in the case of those who teach moral theology. To expound the church's teaching on marriage without ambiguity. Be the first to give in the exercise of your ministry, the example of loyal internal and external obedience to the teaching authority of the church. That obedience, as only you know well, obliges not only because of the reasons abducted, but rather because of the light of the Holy Spirit, which is given in a particular way to the pastors of the church in order that they may illustrate the truth. You know too that Christian people in the field of morals as well as in of dogma all should attend to the magisterium of the church and all should speak the same language. Hence, with all your heart, we renew to you the heartfelt plea of the great Apostle Paul. I appeal to you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all you agree, that there be no dissensions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. Beautiful, beautiful from Humanae Vitae. And then my final reading here is from Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body. Because that's what we have today, my brothers and sisters. We have a crisis of what the human body is for. And the human body is for love, not sex. And there's a difference. Because that's what we're stuck on today. As we see our society, we see our culture, it's sex. Sex, sex, sex. TV, internet, wherever. And it has been warped. The beauty of love and marriage and family has been warped into the single product that is being sold to you and anybody else who's willing to buy it. And is being sold by Satan himself. So I want you to hear this too. This is from the Theology of the Body. A very beautiful thing. It's very beautiful from the general audience of the 31st of October at St. Peter's, St. Peter's Pope John Paul II. St. Pope John Paul II. For the first time, man hears the words, "You shall die," without having any familiarity with them in his experience upon them. On the other hand, he could not but associate the meaning of death with the dimension of life which he had enjoyed up to then. The words of God, Yahweh, addressed to the man confirmed a dependence in existing, such as to make man a limited being, and by his very nature, liable to non-existence. That's just one paragraph out of that teaching. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we're all going to die. We are all going to face judgment. We are all going to stand in front of Christ, in front of God, and account for our lives. And if it is a life of sin and debauchery, God will judge, of course. And God will judge rightly. And God will judge justly. So my brothers and sisters, be in prayer this week. Think about how you are living your life. Pray for the church. Pray for your families. Pray for the world. Pray for how we respond to those in need. Like the homeless, like the elderly, like little babies, like children. Think about this. How we treat women. Do we objectify them? Make them a thing of an object, a thing that we purchase. This is a great sickness that we have. We have to pray for our brothers and sisters all over the world who suffer from this great sickness of sin against the human body. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.